Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for, Saturday, March the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Wow, man, we're live on Saturdays, ladies and gentlemen, 6 days a week. You gotta like that. Kirk Crosby's not with me because he was out of town for business, and he just got back. And, well, I called him up on Thursday, and I'm like, hey, man, we're going to be doing 6 days a week. What do you think? And anyway, he loves it, but he's got some conflicts because, hey, I just threw it on him at the last minute. You know how I do that kind of stuff. And so he's got some personal family stuff. He'll be taking care of that. Of course, he'll be back with us live Monday. And then going forward, we're going to expand our guest lineup big time. We're going to bring all kinds of people on the radio. We're going to have more timely news, and we are going to have more time on the radio to talk about longer form issues and topics and such like that. So anyway, that's kind of the story with that. We're super excited about the 6 day a week broadcast. I just emailed my buddies over at Leading Edge Radio Network and said, hey man, we're going to be live 6 days a week. Hopefully you guys want to take that show as well. So that'll be pretty cool. We're doing that. Our Tennessee station, WMQM, AM 1600, Freedom Radio, if you will. They'll be taking the show, so it's just good news. I got to get a hold of KLID, got to get a hold of our Oregon station, got to have them, you know, KOHI, got to talk to all these different people. The podcasts are going to be updated. The Roku channel is going to be updated. More live radio for you because we love you, because we believe that more timely news is valuable. The ability to expand on some topics is going to be critical, so just hang tight, folks. Good things are happening. We had on our guest, Mr. Richard Mack, first hour yesterday. We normally have him on second hour, but he was on first hour because he had to fly and do some things. We talked about his devastating loss. Really dishonest elections is the summation of it. The bottom line is, A, he didn't get a chance even before he got off Mark X. Liberty Roundtable Live goes 6 days a week. We talked about that as well, and I really expounded on some of the things we're going to be doing a lot more. So check that out if you're interested. Kevin Blake, well-known CSPOA rep from Florida and more. He's been a talk show host in his own right, just does a phenomenal job, writes articles, submits them to newspapers around the country and more. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, brother.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Sam, Kurt. I hope the weather's just as lovely out there in Utah this morning as it is down here in Florida.
The weather's going to be warm today.
Fun come through.
The weather's going to be warm today. It's a strange winter. It'll be like 48 degrees today, but a big old snowstorm is on the way. So it's kind of strange.
Oh, wow. Well, either way, we hope it's a beautiful weather this morning.
Amen to that. Now, Kurt's not with us today because, like I said, he had some obligations. I thought he was going to be here, and he changed his mind because he had some things. And let me just explain to you how awesome Kurt really is. Kurt had other obligations, and when he heard that I needed him for the show, he dropped his other obligations to join me. He's that dedicated to what we do and to the importance of this show and the difference we make in the media. But when he found out that I had somebody else, you know, that could be with me and everything else, he's like, hey, I really have these other things I can do. You know, does it work? Is it? And he was willing to just drop everything and join us or, you know, carry on with what he needed to do. So I'm just telling you, there aren't people as dedicated as Kurt. There just aren't.
Well, Kurt is a busy bee, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, if you want honey delivered directly to your door, get a hold of Kurt because he'll make that happen just for you. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, rate 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. But I just want to really highlight how dedicated he is. It's just amazing. I really, really, really appreciate friends and family and people like that. My spouse is my wife dedicated to this too. She doesn't come on the radio ever. It's just not her thing. But all I'm telling you is she's as supportive as anyone. And Kurt is just like that, too. And I'm just so grateful because I couldn't do what I do without the support of incredible people like Kurt and Kevin and many, many others who sometimes I feel like I'm the quarterback and I get all the credit, which I don't deserve. It's everybody else that makes it all happen, too, Kevin.
Amen to that.
So anyway, there you go on that. What do you think of Liberty Roundtable Live 6 days a week, buddy?
You know, you've called me over the years and have asked me questions about this and that, and, you know, what do we do about this, or do you think this is a good direction? And, you know, honestly, Sam, I got to say, I think this is a really positive direction that Liberty Roundtable Live is taking, going the extra mile on the Saturday there. I just, the America that we are living in now, 5 days a week isn't enough to stay on top of the stories out there. And I think 6 days a week is going to give us that much more of a better edge and give us that much more better news. You're definitely getting out there in the media circuit and you're stepping up your game. So I think it's a great idea. This is going to be really good, I think.
You know, the reason that Kevin mentions that I call him from time to time, I have a pool of advisors of who I consider critical thinkers, who I consider, you know, their opinions are valuable. The Bible says there's wisdom in counsel. And so I take Kevin and Kurt and Sheriff Richard Mack, and I got about 20 different people that I consult with and call and do that. You know, my wife's one of them. And anyway, great friends who I trust. They're critical minds. They think well. And everybody's kind of giving me their input on a lot of this stuff. And I just feel like, hey, we need to dive into some of these, in a way you could call them softer topics, but I'm talking about topics of preparedness. I'm talking about topics that aren't necessarily so politically charged. We're going to be doing that throughout the week. It's not going to be like soft Saturdays. That ain't it. But it is going to be that we can expand to more topics that appear soft on the surface but aren't really. And I'll give you an example. Yesterday's show is a great example of my point. Okay? When it comes to quality of life, studies have shown that a feeling of social connectedness is one of the most important factors. Okay, the number one indicator of success in life is the quality of one's relationships. We are social animals, and we don't do well when we don't have community connections. Those connections are a factor that U.S. World Report uses to determine the importance of these different cities and how valuable and good it is to live in a city, etc. This could explain why residents feel more connected in a small town. Anyway, the article is incredible. The study's interesting, but I broke that down and said, I believe this is really one of the keys to the shooting, Kevin, to where, you know what, these people feel isolated and hated, and it's kind of like Jim Morrison of The Doors said, women seem wicked when you're unwanted. And I really believe this is a critical thing about, you know, a mother's love. Hey, I got a face only a mother could love. That's why I'm on the radio, right? But what I'm saying is this is the kind of stuff, though, that I really believe we're ignoring, and I believe it's critical. A tether to God, family, country, community, these things matter. And if you just take that away from people, they melt down. And nobody's talking about this but me, are they, Kevin?
No, and, you know, I think one point to make here, Sam, and I think the most critical, which is the elephant in the room, is the ramifications that social media holds for people as far as social connections. I think social media is a stumbling block to making any type of social connection, especially when we're talking about our, you know, our bright future, our school children. Me and Amy have just, my wife, Amy, we have just started watching this series where these adults go undercover into these schools and pose as students. And it is just absolutely amazing how bad social media is making problems and how it's starting to affect our children. You know, kids, I know when I was in high school, and Sam, probably when you were in high school, the way we communicated is, hey, man, you know, we hop on the phone at home and talk to each other, or in school, we just go face-to-face and talk to each other. And now what's happening, you can be in the same classroom, and you're not talking to people anymore. So we got to do it on Messenger. Or we got to, there's a means in the way of us actually having a face-to-face conversation.
And not only are we not talking anymore,
causing this problem.
Not only are we not talking anymore and having that face-to-face, as you mentioned, but really a lot of this hostility happens behind the, quote, I don't know if you want to say anonymity, but behind the computer screen where you're not physically with someone. People get a lot more bold, and the bullying increases, the attacks, the outing of people via, I don't know what they call it, sexting and some of these other things where you binge porn?
I don't know.
And anyway, there's an idea where, hey, a girl and a guy get together, they get involved physically, there's photos or video or something taken, or revenge porn is what it's called. And then what happens is they fall out of whatever with each other, fall out of interest, and then before you know it, somebody's putting up these compromising situations to get back at somebody. And, okay, all these things are really because we've created this culture of anonymity, and there's not really accountability, and people get bold and abusive and hostile, and their worst side comes out behind the mask, so to speak.
Well, and not only that, but just electronic communication. You know, there's no way to really express yourself in your words or how you say words. It's just written down. So, you know, if I wrote you an email and I just said, oh yeah, whatever, maybe I was just short. And I think sometimes we do it because, you know, like me, I'm talking.
Then I pull a Nancy like on Little House on the Prairie, and I'm like, Kevin hates me.
Short with me, you know what gives, Kev? Oh no, Sam, I wouldn't be in short with you. You know what I'm saying? So I think we lack that personal communication, that face to face communication, and I think that is just such a critical thing that we have to get back to if we want to increase that that social benefit to our lives.
And it makes you kind of wonder, where's the love, y'all? And how critical, this sounds like a soft topic, but I submit that it's hardcore at the center of the reality check we got to have, Kevin.
Well, and here's the biggest reality check of all. You know, the CEO of Apple won't let his kids have iPhones. You know, Mark Zuckerberg doesn't allow his kids on Facebook. I mean, come on. When the people that own and set up these internet gulags, that's what I like to call them, you know, when they won't even let their own kids on, man, that makes a pretty big statement of, you know, what are we really doing here?
Amen to that. By the way, we have changed our clock too, Kevin, and that's really kind of an interesting tidbit too. We've taken out a lot of the commercials. Number one, we start at 5 after now instead of 6. We end at 59:50 instead of 58:50, so we took out a commercial at the beginning and the end, and we reduced the commercials from 3 minutes to 2 minutes as well. Hang tight. We'll be back in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable live on Saturdays, baby.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Kevin Blake riding shotgun on our first broadcast on Saturdays. We are live, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Blake, CSPOA director for Florida, and he's a marketing director as well for the CSPOA. Does a phenomenal job. Anyway, Kevin, I'm convinced that this sounds like a soft topic, this discussion here, but I'm convinced it's at the heart of the problems in America. And one of the great ways we can solve these problems is to get some face-to-face time, to get some personal love, to get where a mother gives her son a hug, to get where dad decides he's going to, well, you know what? I'll give you an example. And I'm not saying I'm the perfect example, but I use this example because it's important. All right. As you know, I'm a totally blind person, right?
Yeah.
All right, so my son wants to play basketball, so we sign him up for a city basketball thing, city basketball league. It's like junior jazz or whatever. And so we sign him up for this, and then all of a sudden we get this email, and it's like, hey, there's not enough coaches. None of the parents will coach. And, you know, so we're probably not going to have your basketball team. Sorry, guys. And so my wife talks to me and I talk to my son and we worked out a deal where we got this strange coach thing going on. I'm the coach for this basketball
That's
team
awesome.
For my 11-year-old son. And this is an example of what I'm talking about, though. Now, I can't see the game, but I understand basketball. I understand sports. I understand a lot of things. I'm pretty good at understanding stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and so then I talk to my son because he's a 17-year-old basketball player. He's a senior. They won state championship this year. And so I say, son, why don't you help me coach this thing? And so my son finally agrees. And then my wife agrees to kind of help as well. And anyway, long story short, I coached this basketball team this year with my son. And it was a tremendous opportunity for my son, my youngest son, John, for him to literally see, hey, when push comes to shove, dad will throw down and drop everything he's got. It's taken me, you know, an hour or two a week on the weekdays, plus, you know, an hour plus on Saturdays for the last, you know, 10 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever it is. And I don't mind a bit. I'm not complaining about the time. What I'm talking about is my son has no question that I'll drop things for him. That when something matters to him, that it matters to me and it matters to my wife. And these are the kind of things that kids need to see. And these are the things that really what I'm talking about do you feel love? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with family? Do you have a community reach out? I mentioned at the start of these, or you mentioned, I should say, the start of these, at the start of the program, these advisors that I have that I reach out because I trust you guys, because you guys have incredible insight and valuable opinions and there's wisdom and counsel. This is the kind of relationships that I'm talking about that social media can augment, but certainly will never replace. And without these things, I'm convinced we're going to have more and more and more troubled people. We just are.
Oh, I agree with that. And, you know, and on that, Sam, too, I don't think it just applies to kids. I think it applies just as much, if not more so, to adults. You know, and one thing I've noticed over the years here is a big change in people. And you know, they could be great, good, everyday, average people just like you and me, but it's how we're treating each other. You know, sometimes we get ourselves in these bubbles and it's outside our comfort zone, or we might not care for one another like we should. And I think that's a big thing that we got to start doing, too, as adults is, you know, well, what about that person that sits alone or something like that? Maybe we try to reach out and help them out or just talk to them because that can make a huge difference. I think you actually highlighted this yesterday, if I remember correctly, where you were working with someone or something like that. But it turns out years later, just by you just being who you are and just being nice, you actually saved the guy from trying to commit suicide.
Yeah, and I want to be very careful about that statement because I don't take any credit. All I did was befriend and be kind to someone, me and my buddy did. And we had no idea this was on this guy's mind. We had no idea anything about it. We just befriended a guy, and he was a friend, and we liked him, and he liked us. And okay, I remember the time in my life, and I remember the circumstances. It was a little bit of a surprise that he reached out for friendship, and we provided this friendship. It wasn't until 20-plus years later that this story came out. I knew nothing about it. I don't have any credit in this at all. I use it, though, to highlight the power. Hold on, Kevin. I use it to highlight the power, though, of our relationships that we have no idea the impact of them. So this guy later, 20 years later, runs up to my wife. I hadn't seen him in years. He runs up to me and my family. I introduce him. Hey, what's going on? And he says, I got a story to tell you. And he just lays this out to my wife and kids. And I went, whoa. It isn't about me. It's about God and how he uses us, and it's about the relationships and the impact that we have. It reminds me a little bit of It's a Wonderful Life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was just using that as a highlight to show that, it, like you say, you know, you didn't do anything. You really didn't save his life, but it's the principle that saved his life there and just the action in what you did that saved his life. And I think more or less us as Americans, we've become very divided. I think over the last probably 16 years of things that have gone on in this country, it has really divided our country. And I think we need to start getting back to that and just start to engage with one another a lot better, start to have more face-to-face relationships, maybe stray away from the good old boy systems and the cliques and all that. Just let's just be American. Let's just get along and not have any agendas and stuff like that, because I see that a lot. Especially down here in Florida, you know, there's a lot of agendas behind what people do and how they live their life. And I just think it's, well, I don't like seeing that. I think everybody getting along and working together and people having relationships and all that, it could be a lot better. And it could really help our country, and not only that, but it can really help our personal lives too. But that's just my take.
Amen to that. And I agree with you 1,000%, and that's why I say these sound like soft topics, but I don't think they are at all. In fact, I think they're at the center of success or the center of troubled people. Mm-hmm. People that are already unstable in certain ways, maybe due to chemistry in their brains or you know, chemical imbalances or all these different things. When you take away the government, pretty soon people start to get a lot more healthy. People start to get a lot more safe. When you take away the family, people start to melt down. When you take away these relationships, I'm telling you, people start to melt down. And it's interesting. Every one of these cases, you say they don't have good relationships in every single case. And then they're all added, you know, psychotropic drugs are put into the mix. And then you find out the only people helping them or befriending them is either some kind of a gang or some kind of a government or something that replaces these relationships and family that I'm speaking of.
Yes. You know, and I think the biggest take from this, too, is, and I don't know for the listeners out there, but ask yourself this question. How many of you on a daily basis sit and think in your mind how your actions affect other people? In for example, you know, if I said something, maybe I was short with somebody or something like that. What I want to know is how, or what I try to think is, number one, I don't want to do that again. And I wonder how that could have affected that person. And I think that is one thing that we have gotten away from, Sam, as a society, is how do our actions affect other people? We don't think about that. And I think it's natural human behavior to over time move away from that. But that's something I've been really trying to put back in my life and really think, just even the smallest thing, how is that going to affect somebody else? And over time that you start doing this, you're going to start to say, maybe if I made some changes, I can make a difference in someone else's life. Even just so small, something so small can make such a big difference in other people's lives, that it's really amazing if you can sit back and do that with yourself. So I would encourage the radio listeners out there to maybe think about some things and say, you know, I wonder if this thing I did the other day, whether good or bad or whatever, I wonder how it affected that person's life or what have you. And maybe try to double down on that and say, I wonder if I did something different, and if it was maybe something negative, what if I could turn that into a positive? And what if I could do that to, you know, for one person every day, and then maybe try to do two people every day or something like that? And eventually, I think the people around you or in your bubble, you can really start to see a lot of positive changes that way. I know I have, Sam, and it's a really good feeling to say, you know what, wow, I've looked at things that maybe I didn't think were wrong, but maybe somebody else didn't like, and I'm able to change that about not only myself, but, you know, it's making relationships better in my life too. Or, you know what I'm saying? I don't know where you stand on that, but I think that's a critical point.
There's no question it's critical, and I think that's the key. And I think, believe it or not, Donald's wife Melania started this out. She tried to celebrate Random Acts of Kindness Day, and they literally attacked her for it.
I know.
I mean, can you imagine me going, hey, let's be kind to everybody? And they're like, oh, man, you're a thug. You're crazy. What are you talking about? It's like, what? Are you kidding me? And this is the problem in our society that I think we're talking about here. Is it going to hurt to give a kind word to somebody? What if somebody would have been kind to Stephen Paddock?
Yeah.
Or this shooter, this Cruz in Florida, or Claiborne, or any of these guys? What if somebody would have been kind to them? What if a mother would have loved them? What if somebody would have taught them about God? What if there was a pastor or a preacher or somebody in their life or a youth counselor or somebody that reached out and said, you know what? You matter, buddy. You do. God loves you, and so do I. And okay, this is the example that I have about this friend that I know. Hey, it only took a couple of people at the right time to befriend him. We didn't do anything special. All we were is kind and gave him acceptance and support.
Absolutely.
At a critical time. All right, Kevin Blake with us, ladies and gentlemen, CSPOA Director for Florida, Communications Director, CSPOA.org. When we come back, I want to switch topics. I want to talk about Donald and trade and a bunch of other stuff. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live. We are live on Saturdays. Kevin Blake riding shotgun today. This is news the networks refuse to use.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperform gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, I want to make a couple other quick points about these relationships. That is the solution. It's not the entire solution, but it's certainly one of them big time. Now, I want to mention this interesting little tidbit for you. Martin Barillas, he's with a conservative news organization. Quote, new study shows there's no epidemic of school gun violence. Study shows there's no epidemic of school gun violence. All right. Let's be very clear. All right. There's no epidemic, folks. According to Professor James Allen Fox of Northeastern University, it's unlikely that any of the various gun proposals will even make a difference. There is no epidemic. And they do a research study and they show the amount of shootings and the details and everything else. And the bottom line is, I say that Congress, the president, and the media have all been responsible for a lot of this. While I'm talking about the random act of kindness of Donald's wife, Melania, and how she got attacked for it, and how we got this problem in society with relationships. And as Kevin brings to the table this incredible, Kevin Blake bringing this incredible idea, hey, that, you know what, social media has become a significant piece of the puzzle and part of the problem here. They make you believe that there's a shooting everywhere. I mean, Al-Qaeda's behind your left shoulder, and there's just a shooting everywhere all the time. I mean, buddy, you can't go to the store. You're going to just get murdered right on the spot. And it isn't true. And so I don't deny that we have a problem with mentally ill people in America. But the problem is taking away guns from the good guys is not the answer. But that's what they're peddling. And they're making this out to be this huge, laser-like, focused-on problem when really they're focusing on the wrong problem and the wrong solution, and they're giving it a way out of proportion billing in the news. If it bleeds, it leads idea. All right. The bottom line is, we've got to put this in proper perspective, first of all, Kevin. And then secondly, we've got to talk about the real problems and the real issues. Nobody's doing that I see, except for a few Christian organizations. We're one of them.
Well, and I'm glad you brought this up, because I actually authored an article that's it's up on CSPOA.org. It was in the February newsletter that was talking about the solution to school shootings. And in my research to this article, Stan, I found some shocking facts. Well, to you and me, they're not shocking, but to most people, they're going to be shocking. Now, I wanted to center on the main problem, the core of the issue, which is gun-free zones. And what I found in my research was two 60-year periods going forward from 1990 to present, and then going back from 1990 to 1960, because what happened in 1990 was the passage of the Gun-Free School Zones Act. So it should be noted that from the period of 1960 to 1990, which led to the passage of the Gun-Free School Zones Act, there were only 35 reported incidents of gun violence in schools. Okay. Now, from the period of 1990 to present, after the passage of the Gun-Free School Zones Act, there have been 185 incidents of gun violence in schools. So now we can say it's nearly tripled, but it gets even worse, Sam. From the earliest known recorded event of a school shooting actually happened in the early 1700s. And there have been a few over the 1700s, 1800s. So even before America was a country, from the early 1700s to the 1990 period, so 295 years, there were only 95 recorded incidents in that period. So we have nearly doubled school shootings since government got involved with a problem that didn't exist. And we say, oh, well, we need to get, you know, we need to ban a certain type of firearm, or we need to put in an age limit. And I warn readers in this article that, number one, there's no amount of government or gun-free zones that are going to save lives. There is no amount of money that is going to fix this problem, because honestly, Governor Rick Scott, our governor here in the state of Florida, has been on a tirade since the Pulse shooting of, we need to spend, the first one was, let's spend $5.7 million, Sam, to hire 46 Florida Department of Law Enforcement terror agents so we can prevent a shooting from ever happening again. That's going to fix the problem. And now he's wanting to make bulletproof walls and you know, safe doors and classrooms and all this money. And these people, all they want to do is convince you that giving them more money or higher taxes or more political power, growing the size and scope of government, is going to fix the problem. And I would submit, Sam, that that is what has led us to this problem. So that's not going to work. And then I think the last point that I had was the fact that legislating our way out of the problem with gun control is not going to be the solution either, because we seem to do this every time, and it continues to happen. Now, the left would tell you that we just need to get rid of guns altogether, and I submit that's not a wise choice, because when we look at other countries that have done that, government tends to get a little genocidal, well, maybe a lot of genocidal. So what is the solution? And the CSPOA and even Rick Dalton, myself, I'm sure Sheriff Mack has been, I know he's been campaigning, but I'm sure Sheriff Mack's on board. And the most common sense solution is, guys, we need to arm the teachers. There's no need to spend hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, fixing the problem or hiring. I know one proposal was hiring veterans to go into school. And on me being a veteran myself, I'm sorry, I cannot support that, because there's nothing out there that is going to be more effective and more cost effective than having a teacher go get training, either with a sheriff's office or one of the very many qualified and talented trainers that are out there these days, and have them train to carry a gun in the classroom. We even had someone contact the CSPOA, Sam. They had a great idea. I thought it was a phenomenal idea, but again, I can't support it. They said they want to take a drone and arm them with less than lethal weapons, and that way someone from the safety of a room outside of the shooting event could fly a drone into the classroom and take down a shooter. I think it's a great idea, but again, Sam, if you're out, do you want the cops to fly a drone to your location if you get robbed and stop the criminal?
Yeah, people need to think about both sides of the coin. My proposal for solutions,
the same thing. So.
My proposal for solutions, Kevin, in addition to this reality check on relationships, that's what I'm calling it, a reality check on relationships. As I mentioned, we need to have constitutional carry, which means, you know what, there's not going to be any restrictions, whether I conceal or I openly carry a gun. And when the good guys have guns, you never know who's going to have what where. It's going to change the game. That's all we need to do now. Sure, you know what, teachers in schools being trained is great, but all I'm saying is just let constitutional carry happen.
Oh, absolutely. I've been supportive of that for years. I mean, the fact, you know, and I know in most state constitutions, it's actually, you know, the states have and reserve the right of how arms will be born. And what I mean is not how they'll, you know, come to life, but, you know, how people are able to carry those arms. You know, for example, in one of my most active, when I was a gun control activist and you know, against gun control, when I lived in Colorado, and what they were trying to do back in 2013, I was very involved with that. One of the things in Colorado was, well, it was actually legal for people to actually open carry in the state of Colorado. Thanks to the NRA, they actually made it a classic felony if someone got offended and saw you open carry. But you could still open carry. You know, I'm okay with open carrying, but I think it kind of might make you a target. Depends. There's varying opinions about that. So yes, you know, concealed carry needs to be just passed nationwide to where you don't need a permit to carry a firearm. And there's going to be guns everywhere because an armed society is a polite society. And on that point, when I was in the Wyoming Air National Guard.
Hold on. Before you go to the National Guard issue, I just want to say whether it's concealed or open carry, that should be the choice of the individual. And we need constitutional carry is the point here. Now, I'm fine with concealed because we got it across the country. But I'm talking about constitutional carry, which means, you know what? The government doesn't interfere.
Well, Wyoming had that. So I lived in Colorado. I would travel to Cheyenne, Wyoming and do my drill duty. The great thing about that, Sam, when I was in the Guard, is Cheyenne was a constitutional carry state. So as soon as I crossed that state line, I could put that pistol in my waistband and no one would know the difference. And you know what? Crime in Cheyenne wasn't much of a problem. They are having some gang issues up there right now. But for the most part, you don't really hear about robberies and, you know, school shootings in Wyoming and stuff like that. Because guess what? No one knows where there's going to be a gun. And so it really is a huge crime deterrent. And as far as I know, any sheriff or sheriff's deputy or police officer that I talk to looks at an armed populace as a force multiplier for them. And they think it's a great thing. So this whole notion that the left has about, well, we just need to get rid of guns and people shouldn't be able to carry them unless it's our own personal armed security because we're the left, you know, that needs to go away. And
but again, it's this media and government focus. They're making this out to be some epidemic. By the way, these groups, this Martin Barillas article that I'm talking about, this professor says there is no epidemic. It isn't true. They use data to back this up, collected by the FBI, the Congressional Research Service, Stanford Geospatial Center, Stanford Libraries, Mother Jones Magazine. I mean, they got just a litany of details related to this research. USA Today, Gun Violence Archives, and Every Town for Gun Safety, they literally found that mass shootings at schools are quite rare.
Yeah.
Anyway, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Blake, our guest, CSPOA Director, CSPOA.org. Check out his incredible article there. We'll talk more Liberty Roundtable Live.
Their commercial everyone's happy and they're jumping around or whatever.
The thing is they not only have appealing activities, they have appealing people out there too. You know, you see beer commercials and it's done with natural water and it's cold brewed or heat pasteurized and all that kind of stuff. They make it sound more like a health food almost, but they never show the hangovers or alcoholism or anything like that.
And then in reality, you're happy and then you're vomiting in the bathroom and then you're waking up sick the next morning with a really bad headache.
Any person that says that beer is merely for recreational use is stupid because it's a form of alcohol.
They just want your money. It's the people that sell the product that are getting the most out of it, not the people that use it.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're all sell our beer and it doesn't matter what it takes, just sell it.
No, they're not honest messages. They don't show the flip side of it, the results of alcohol.
A public service message from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Yes, indeed. Liberty Roundtable live 6 days a week now, ladies and gentlemen, just for you. Kevin Blake riding shotgun on the broadcast. I'm going to put his article in the show notes. It is available on CSPOA.org. And this new study shows there is no gun shootings epidemic. Now, gun-free zones are a massive problem. Kevin documents it 66 ways from Sunday. Martin Barillas documents this situation. New study shows there is no epidemic of school gun violence. Sure, there's mental illness. There's discussions about things. Sure, our society is more violent. We got a problem. But it's a relationship reality check, in my humble opinion. Relationships matter and provide vital solutions to the problems we face for mental instability, etc. We really got to talk about this in an open way. And the problem is, I believe the media in bed with government, they're literally promoting an agenda to create an epidemic idea to then back that up with literally denying the good guys from having guns, and it will be disaster. Stand against it. Even Donald fell for it until the NRA got a hold of him. Now, supposedly, he's backtracking big time, and thank heavens for that. But all I'm telling you is this is a scenario where you can get so emotionally wrapped up, you can literally trade your liberty for security, and you'll wind up with neither, Kevin.
Yes. And, you know, I think it's critical. One thing to bring up is a what-if scenario. And actually, Rick Dalton shared this. And Rick Dalton, if people don't know, he's our vice president for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. I think it's more of an officious title than that. But just in short, he's the VP. And he's really good at sharing some memes. Now, I saw one that come across yesterday. And it's a picture of General George Washington mounted on his horse or on his steed. And he's addressing his men, and he says, "Stand fast, men. Once we secure our right to hunt deer, you'll see the sacrifice was worth it, and we can all go home." And then his second in command says, "Yes, sir, and ducks, General. Don't forget the ducks."
Woo! You got to love it.
Right? I mean, come on. They didn't say this. In people, this notion that I've been hearing from the, and I don't mean to be rude, but the Tide Pod eating generation is that, oh, all of a sudden, these AR-15 rifles, they're called AR for assault rifle, which is a lie. It actually stands for Armalite, which is the company that first manufactured it. They think that these assault rifles, they just need to go away, and they're just such the problem. It's not the case. It doesn't matter the type of gun. You have to have a shooter to operate the fire. And I know I'm preaching to the choir on this broadcast, but literally I think what we're seeing here is something more coordinated, more devious. It's agenda-driven. That is very obvious, and it's a very sneaky thing because the way they're going about this is they're starting to get all their big corporate partners. Now you got Walmart jumping in, Dick's Sporting Goods, and all these little big old chain stores. Oh, we just got to get rid of the guns, and we can't sell these death devices anymore. Even more interesting, I shared this the other day because there's a gentleman by the name, it escapes me. Let me scroll down and find it. And here we are. The gentleman's name was Scott Pappalardo, and this was a piece that came out from, of course, ABC News, one of the Alphabet Soup news companies there. And it's a gentleman sitting on his back patio holding his Colt pre-ban AR-15 rifle. Now, the reason I want to bring this up, because this goes to show how the alphabet soup government agencies selectively enforce the National Firearms Act, Sam. And this gentleman says, well, it's just been so terrible. He even is quoted saying, I mean, look at the pictures of those victims. Is that right, discussing the Second Amendment? Is that right, more important? Basically saying, is it worth the lives of all the people died for me to just have this gun? So he actually takes a chop saw and destroys his AR-15 rifle on video. But he makes a mistake, Sam, and you know what this guy does? He actually cuts the barrel. And anybody that knows about AR-15, Sam knows, if you cut the barrel on an AR-15, you can actually just get a new barrel and put it back on. So he never destroyed his firearm. But what he did do is he, what they call sawing off the barrel, he sawed it off and made an illegal firearm, which is the same thing that the ATF went after Shane Cox and Jeremy Kettler for.
Which is the same thing.
Those men.
Which is the same thing that Randy Weaver did. He cut off a shotgun barrel slightly too short. An agent, government provocateur, conned him into doing it. He said, no, 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 I don't want to do it. He finally did it for the guy. It was government-inspired, promoted, coaxed, and then eventually, does that... Wow. What do we get?
I am a federal firearms license holder. So I possess a federal firearms license. So the license to buy, sell, and mine is an 07 FFL. So I also have a license to manufacture firearms. And when I saw this, I reported it to the ATF, and I haven't heard a thing happen. I haven't, and let me tell you, Sam, if the ATF would have known about me doing something like that, they would have come into my business with probably about 40 SUVs for one little guy. They would have shut me down, hauled me off to jail, threw me through the court system, and threw the book at me. But this gentleman, under the guise of gun control, he can commit felonies and not be held accountable for it. And I think that just goes to show how ridiculous and how agenda-driven that this gun control argument is right now.
Now, the other thing that's of interest...
Whether it's the rule of law or we're not, I mean, I can't stand the Gun Control Act of 68, but again, it's there. We have to follow it, so come on. What are we waiting for?
The other thing I find interesting, Kevin, about this discussion is when we talk about how many deaths arise from alcohol, we talk about how many deaths arise from, you know, the medical industry and surgery... and when we talk about how many deaths are from vehicles, are from drownings, I can go on and on and on, and none of these things compare to gun control. They're way, 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 way worse, every one of them. And, you know, we get this situation where it's just out of proportion, intentionally so, by the mainstream press in bed with government. They've got an agenda. But look, people die way more in automobile accidents than gun deaths.
Yeah. Yeah, those numbers are off the charts, but we're not calling for vehicle control, or just let alone this. Oh, new law that passed in Florida. You cannot drive and be on your cell phone, whether talking or anything, not even hands-free, because it's a $275 ticket. Guess what? They passed a law. I still see people talking on it all the time. All the time. So it's not saving lives. The laws don't work when people don't want to follow them, especially criminals. But, you know, trying to get this point through to the left, you know, it's like the movie Matrix, you know, when the guy that, you know, becomes the hero or whatever, he can hold his hand up and stop all the bullets. I mean, liberals think that's what happens when you put up a gun-free zone sign. That, if they start shooting, they'll just stop in midair and you know, we put a metal detector in, Sam. They're not going to bring it in now. This thinking is ludicrous. And we have to get back to something more common sense. And, you know, the great thing is I did reach out to a few of our constitutional sheriffs across the country, Sheriff Brad Rogers in Elkhart County, Indiana. He is all for working with the school boards because actually in Indiana, the school board can actually allow people to bear arms with a vote of the board. His whole entire office is dedicated to working with the teachers and the school boards to bring a solution and arm the teachers in his school. Sheriff Darleaf out of Berry County, Michigan, he actually has a pilot program going right now, Sam. It's not even a pilot program. He's had it instituted for years now that he actually deputizes teachers that want to carry, and they go and train with the sheriff's deputies and qualify every year, and that's his way around the state law of gun-free zones is he has people acting under his auspice of his office that are armed and protecting people in the school. You know, and I've tried to reach out to a couple of Florida sheriffs that were friendly to us at one point in time, and quite a few of them have not got back to me, except for one, Sheriff Rick Staley. He actually had his undersheriff call me, and they're looking for solutions around this problem that we have, the state law. And my thing is okay, to arm the teachers, it's going to take a bunch of legislative work. That's going to take time. It's going to be so politically charged that we are leaving our most precious things in society exposed to more shootings to happen. And I said, well, we got to figure out a gray area around this. How can the sheriff stand up and help and figure out the gray area around this so we can get some trained staff in our schools to protect our children? And they're all ears right now. They want this to go forward. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of solutions. And that's why I think trying to grow the size and scope of government, that's going to be a failure. Trying to get more money from people, that's just going to it's going to hurt people more. I mean, people are already trying to most people are living paycheck to paycheck. So increasing taxes is just going to be more of a disaster. You know, and more gun control. It's just going to infuriate the people that cherish their Second Amendment rights. Why are we trying to, you know, it's just like we're at each other's throats on everything.
Amen to that.
And
now,
that's
Kevin,
why I think to take this back to the very first topic that we talked about is relationships. How can we peacefully coexist again? And I think that is at the center of all this, Sam.
All right, Kevin, just so you know, car crashes kill about 40,000 people in the U.S. every year, according to Fox News. There's all kinds of accident or car vehicle facts or whatever. It's an average of about 40,000 people a year. And when you talk about malpractice in the medical industry, they say it's up to 250,000 people a year. How come no one's talking about any of that?
No one is. Let's go one step further, and we might get off the deplorable cliff here, is let's talk about all the millions of children that are murdered at Planned Parenthood murder clinic. I mean, abortion clinics. Let's talk about that. That has been the American genocide. You know, people say that Hitler was a bad guy. Well, what did he kill, Sam? Like 8 million of his own people? And we've done, what, 60 plus? I mean, who's really keeping track? But come on. but it's a right. Oh, it's a right, Sam. Well, I would say, okay, that's great. Yeah. So you know what? If your right to a government paid abortion should be paid by the public, then well, my right to guns. So that does that mean I get free guns now? Because it's a right. I mean, this is the thing. Is things are so convoluted, and we've strayed so far from the principles found in the Bible that it creates this meltdown in society. And I think it's because of lack of relationship. I hate to bring it back to what we were first talking about, Sam, but that is such a critical. Everybody says, oh, it's not such a big topic, but it is such a critical topic. When you look at the issues of the day and how we address them and how we work with them, we just don't have those relationships like we used to back in this country. And it makes things impossible to where, you know, even trying to solve this very little problem. I don't even think it's a problem, but trying to guard our children in schools, yes, we need to secure our schools. So that is a problem. Trying to even come up with a solution to it is going to be impossible because nobody wants to talk about it.
There's between 500,000 and 1 million abortions every year, to make your point. All right. And then you look at
music.
And then you look at all kinds of other you know, statistics and stuff, and you just go, wow. They've blown this intentionally way out of proportion. Don't fall for the lie, ladies and gentlemen. God, family, and country is the answer. The protection of life, liberty, and property, critical for the success of this wonderful free nation. I want to make America great again, folks, but to do that, we've got to make America moral again. There's no disputing it. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. Sam Bushman and Kevin Blake breaking it down live with our new Saturday additional broadcast every week now. If you want to donate and help fund us, we'd love it. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We declare we the people. Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. The only question left is, will you help? We declare this nation shall endure.